This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa shafi'ina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Imagine for a moment that you got a chance to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in person. The final messenger of Allah, the best of creation, the one with the most exalted character, the most beautiful model and example for us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What would that feel like? How would you behave? And what would your spiritual state be like at that time, in that moment? Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that min ashaddi ummati li hubban, nasun yakununa ba'di yawaddu ahaduhum law ra'ani bi ahlihi wa malih. The people most loved by me from amongst my ummah would be those who would come after me, but everyone amongst them would have the keenest desire to catch a glimpse of me, even at the cost of his family and wealth, as reported Sahih Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said famously, as related by Anas radiallahu anhu, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس يجمعين. That none of you truly believes until I am more beloved, until I am more dear to him than his father, his son, his child, meaning his own self, and all of the people. My brothers and sisters, it is clear that the love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an important, a critical part of believing, of being a Muslim. When a person says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, this is, my brothers and sisters, a statement which entails the love for Allah and the love for His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our iman is faith which is not devoid of love. Yes, believing can be, you know, arguably be something which is sort of technical, that yes, I believe, or a person does not believe. But what does that belief entail? What does it include? It certainly includes love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said that the reason why it is obligatory to love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and venerate him more than any other person is that we cannot attain the greatest good in this world or in the hereafter except at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by believing in him and following him. That is because no one can be saved from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the mercy of Allah cannot reach him except by means of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Loving him, being loyal to him, and following him. Once again, that is because no one can be saved from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot reach him except by means of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by believing in him, loving him, being loyal to him, and following him. This is the means by which Allah will save him from punishment in this world and in the hereafter. This is the means by which he will attain what is good in this world and in the hereafter. And he goes on to say, the greatest blessing is the blessing of faith. The greatest blessing is the blessing of faith, which can only be attained through him, and which is more beneficial than his own self and his wealth, meaning a person's own self and wealth. He is the one by means of whom Allah brings people forth from darkness into light, and there is no other way to Allah. And there is no other way to Allah, meaning except through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for a person's self and family, they will not avail him anything before Allah. End quote. So my brothers and sisters, the question is, How should this love be expressed? And what is the effect of this love? Right? Anybody could say that they love someone. Anybody could claim that they love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But at the end of the day, how does a person really know that that love is true and that love is genuine? What effect should it have? What does it look like? So I'll answer that with another question, and that is, what is a lover focused on? When a person loves another, what is their focus? What is the qualities? What are the qualities and the characteristics of their love? So a few things we can think of. Making the beloved pleased and happy. Honoring them. Being loyal to them. Following their wishes, their directions, their preferences. Being in their company. And when they can't be in their company, then reading their words. Talking about them. Right? Learning about them as much as possible. And being like them. So if we truly love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our lives should really revolve around doing all of the above. As has been shown by those who loved him the most, his companions and our pious predecessors. They loved him so much. It is reported in Sirah ibn Hisham that a woman from the tribe of Banu Dinar lost her husband, father, and brother. She lost who? She lost her husband, her father, and brother in the Battle of Uhud. And when she was informed of this, she, radiallahu anha, asked, but what happened to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Right? This is a woman who's lost her husband, her father, and her brother. But she's worried about the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the people replied, that alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. He is safe, as you would wish him to be. So she replies, show him to me so that I can see for myself. Show him to me so that I can see for myself. She's received the good news that he's fine, but she still wants to see for herself. So the people pointed him out, and when she saw him, she said, all misfortunes mean nothing to me as long as you are alive. This was the level of love she had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anas radiallahu anhu relates, رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alaihi wasallam وَالْحَلَّاقُ يَحْلِقُ. That I saw when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was getting his hair cut by the barber. And what was special about that? He goes on, وَأَطَافَ بِهِ أَصْحَابُهُ فَمَا يُرِيدُونَ أَن تَقَعَ شَعْرَةٌ إِلَّا فِي يَدِ رَجُلٍ. Right. That his companions came around him and they eagerly wanted that no hair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should fall in the hand, but in the hand of a person. Right. So that was their love and attachment for the Prophet ﷺ, that even when his hair was being cut, they surrounded him and they would try to make sure that not even a single hair of his fell onto the ground, except that it went into someone's hand. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he would come to a tree between Mecca and Medina. So when he was traveling between Mecca and between Medina, he would take a nap under that tree. And he told the people that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had done so. Now, of course, this was not a prophetic command, right? It's not like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whenever you travel between Mecca and Medina, you have to rest under this tree or you have to sleep under this tree. Of course not, right? It was simply a habit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he would like to do that. But Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much that whenever he would pass through there, right, he couldn't help but think about the Prophet ﷺ and what he would do at that place. And out of love for him, he would also do the same. Mus'ab ibn Abdullah rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that whenever Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala would mention the Prophet ﷺ, his complexion would change. What would happen? His complexion would change when he would mention the Prophet ﷺ. And he would bow down his head and cry until it became difficult for those around him to bear. This was the extent of the crying of Imam Malik when he mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, one day the people around him, so this was not like a one-off occurrence, right? This was something that would happen regularly with Imam Malik. So the people around him one day asked him about this, and he answered them by saying, if you saw what I saw, then you would not find what I do to be strange. If you had seen what I have seen, then you would not find this to be, or what I do to be strange. And then he goes on, he says, I saw Muhammad ibn Munkadir, rahimahullah, and he was a master of Quranic recitation. Whenever we asked him about a hadith from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would cry. I used to see Ja'far ibn Muhammad, rahimahullah, who was one of the scholars who feared Allah and was very humorous and always smiling. So this is a scholar that who was always smiling, he was very humorous. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mentioned in his presence, he would become pale. He never narrated any hadith unless he was in a state of wudu. Now, of course, this is not a requirement, right? But this was his reverence for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his respect for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would never narrate any hadith except in a state of wudu. Malik goes on, once I became separated from him, and then when I saw him again, he would be praying, reciting the Quran, or keeping silent. So this was a scholar, he used to be very humorous, always smiling, always jovial. But later on, he would see him, he would always be offering salah, reciting Quran, or keeping silent. He never got involved in matters which did not concern him. I used to visit Amir ibn Abdullah ibn Zubayr, rahmatullahi alayhi, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was mentioned in his presence, he would cry until his tears ran dry. My brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told us something special about love. And he has told us that, first of all, there are three qualities. ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. That there are three qualities for which anyone who is characterized by them will relish the sweetness of faith. What will happen to that person? That person who has these three qualities, they will taste the sweetness of iman. So this tells us that faith has a taste to it. That iman, faith, has a taste to it. And that taste is sweetness. But it doesn't come right away, perhaps. It doesn't come naturally, perhaps. But it has to be developed. And what are these three qualities, these three characteristics? He to whom Allah and His Messenger are dearer than all else. مَنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهُمَا. Right? The person to whom Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are dearer than all else, number one. Secondly, he who loves a person for Allah's sake alone. Right? There are many motivations for loving another person, but the person who loves another person only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for any other purpose, not for any other interest or any other motivation, only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person will also have a share in tasting the sweetness of iman. And finally, he who has a great abhorrence of returning to disbelief after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rescued him from it, as he has of being cast into the hellfire. So a person who is so, who abhors returning to kufr, returning to disbelief, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided him, has rescued him from it, as he abhors being cast into the hellfire. Right? So people who have these three qualities, anyone who is characterized by these three qualities will taste the sweetness of iman, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, we want to judge, if you want to judge any action in this religion, and this is a general golden principle, which is very important, especially, as times move on, especially for my young friends. If you want to judge any action of Islam, or that's purportedly of Islam, look to see what the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought of it. Look to see what the companions and the early pious Muslims thought of it. How did they understand it? How did they interpret it? How did they react to it? Because the basis, one of the peculiar, amazing qualities of this religion, alhamdulillah, is that it is absolutely grounded. What is it? It is absolutely grounded. There is nothing in this religion. There should be nothing in this religion that is made up, that does not have any basis, that cannot be traced back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the generation that followed him, or the generation that followed them. So everything needs to be grounded and needs to be traced back. So if you ever come across an action and you are unsure about its status, look back to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look to the generation of the companions, meaning the generation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who followed them, and those who followed them and see what their opinion was, what they thought of it, how they reacted to it. And this will give us a good indication as to the status of that action. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, he used to say that al-muhabbatu ittiba' al-rasul, that to love is to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So those who truly love someone, are a fan of someone, they like to do everything like them. Right? They like to do everything like them, right? And of course the word that is used nowadays is not very appropriate, because we say idolize someone. And of course it has negative connotations when you think of idolatry. Of course it doesn't mean the same thing, but it's coming from that root. But essentially what it means is to follow with a great admiration and to try to do everything like the person that is being followed, right? So when it comes to actions, people will follow the commands of the person that they idolize. They will try to have the same preferences as them, to act like them in terms of their behavior, in terms of the speech, in terms of the dress, in terms of everything, right? And one of the reasons why we see the pious people go out of their way to follow the sunnah and to be like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every way, right? Not just his commands, as we saw in the case of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, not just the commands, but beyond the commands and trying to emulate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is because they were the true lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? If a person is a true lover, they should want to be like him, right? You should want to follow his example, his teachings, and this should manifest itself in our daily lives, right? Even the smallest actions can be an indicator of how much love we have for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how much we value his teachings and his actions. So when we think of the sunnah, we don't just say, oh, it's just a sunnah, but we say, wow, this is a sunnah, I want to follow it because I love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? And one of the specific acts that we can do, which is of course fully authentic and proven, is sending peace and salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam many times a day, because as he sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, man salla alayya salatan sallallahu alaihi biha ashra, that a person, whoever supplicates to Allah to exalt my mention, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will exalt their mention 10 times. And in some other narrations, also goes on to say, and Allah will remove from them 10 sins and will raise them in 10 degrees. And of course there are other narrations as well that give us the value of sending salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُسَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صلِّ وسلم. Okay, so this is something that we do, of course, as part of our salah in our prayers, but generally we should try to build a habit multiple times a day to send salat and salams, exalt the mention, and send peace and salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To be clear, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not need our dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not need us to do this for any benefit. It is for our own good, because it reminds us of our connection with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It reminds us of who we love and who we follow and who we should emulate, who we should aspire to be like. So brothers and sisters, let us try to resolve to study the seerah, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to recite the Quran and also study the Quran so that we come across the incidents and that relate to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the instructions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we appreciate, we build an appreciation for the sacrifices and the efforts, the dedication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and out of love and concern for us. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was deeply concerned about his ummah, was deeply concerned about us, deeply anxious about us. He cared for us and he made lots of dua for us. And this, of course, religion that has reached us is because of the efforts and the dedication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had willed. So we should try to learn and increase our appreciation. The other thing I'm going to say, and I was talking to someone about this recently, is go for Umrah, but also visit Madinatul Munawwara. Take your children if you can, right? Don't underestimate the impact of visiting Haramain al-Sharifain, to visit Mecca and Medina, especially with your children, right? Because we live here, with a minority complex psychologically, right? We are minorities, of course, we know that. And for our children who are growing up here, yes, we teach them Allah about Allah and as Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? But all of those things are stories until you actually go there and realize that this is actually where it happened, right? This is actually the same ground, the same air, the same mountain, right? The place where I hear about all these stories, they're not just like once upon a time fairy tales, but they actually happened here. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is actually, you know, buried here in the Rawdah, as an example. So the impact, the psychological and spiritual impact, positive impact, of seeing that firsthand and not being a minority for a few days, right, cannot be underestimated. So if you are able to, please make an effort to take your children, and I'm not selling like any Umrah packages or anything, so I'm not getting anything out of this, right? Wherever you go through, I don't really care, okay? But go, make the effort, take your children, take your youth, go there, visit, spend time there, and rekindle that love and that appreciation for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for his sacrifices. And as much as possible, let us also try to organize events and programs and to learn and attend, you know, programs where we can propagate the seed of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah azza wa jalla increase our love for him and make us true believers and true reflections of his beautiful sunnah. Ameen wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. We'll take a quick break and we'll continue, inshallah.